Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm discussing the topic of grace, and that word amazes me. It baffles me. It's a mystery to me that why God's done what he's done, and I hope to do this subject some justice tonight, and with the help of God I will. I guess I'll give you a little background about myself. At 15 years old, I had a powerful experience where I had asked God one summer that he could somehow show me if he was real. And I had an experience where I had a vision, and God showed me in a way he chose that he was real. And then after that point, I went my own way and walked in to all sorts of sins and abominations. And by the grace of God, came out from them and repented of them and was forgiven. And that process started when I was in college, and some friends told me, you know, let's go out and party. And I felt the Holy Spirit say no, and I heeded it. And I said, no, I'm just going to stay home. And after I shut the door, I went to my bed because I knew that was God guiding me. And I knelt down by my bed and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And it came to me that I was to read the Book of Mormon. And so during that year, my first year in college, I read all the way through the Book of Mormon. And I learned about the grace of God. I learned through the stories of the son of Alma, who went about persecuting the church, about a God that forgave him. I learned about his friends, Ammon, Omner, and the other sons of Mosiah, who called themselves the very vilest of sinners. And I learned about the grace of God, that God loved them and loved me so much that he was willing to forgive me and make me a new creature. And so I love this subject. And I'm going to start out reading one of my favorite verses on the subject. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These few verses capsulize so many important things. How we're saved, the mechanism through which we're saved, and that we don't deserve any credit for it, and what he can do with us if we have faith in him. This 10th verse reminds me of our brother Daniel this morning, who talked about us being transformers. You know, how God changes us, and that's what this 10th verse is all about changing us from who we were, who we are, who we naturally are, to who he wants us to be if we have faith in him. The definition of grace out of Webster's Dictionary, 1828, this second definition is what I felt fit the grace of God. And it says, appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. The spring and source of all benefits men receive from him. If there is anything good in man, it's not because of us. It's because of him and God's blessing upon us. If we think any good thought, if we do any good deed, it's because of him. It's because of God. We sing a song, I need thee every hour, and it's because we do. I had thought of a scripture that I wanted to read, and now I forgot what it was. So I will go on. Maybe I'll come back to it. This scripture out of Isaiah talks about us, how we are naturally. Isaiah 64, beginning in verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath I seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. There's a very similar scripture in the New Testament about this. God has prepared great things for us. Back to that transformer thought. He wants to transform us into who he wants us to be and plans for us to be and has meant for us to be. Verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. So this was a state that Israel was in. At times we have been in that state in our life. A need for repentance. But our natural way is as filthy rags. That is salvation is unmerited by our ways and our works. It is merited by what God has done, and it's evidenced by what he does in us. I didn't explain that very well. I'll explain it later. I'll go into that. later. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So that's the result of someone who remembers him and has faith in him. He's able to mold us into who he wants us to be. James chapter 2, in verse 18. And this is along the lines of this same subject of what God does in us if we have faith in him. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. And of course, this isn't my works as in something that I own, but it is the work that's God's doing in me by that faith that he has gifted me with. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And as we read in Ephesians 2, faith will produce his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is the result of his grace and the faith, that gift of faith that he gives us when it's functioning in our lives, good works. And, you know, thinking about all of that, when I sin, I can usually go back and think of something, some way that I responded in my own way, rather than doing what God was trying to guide me to do. And it's a way that I can, in the future, when I get to that point, remember, I need to follow God's way. I need to have faith in him, rely on him, and he's going to provide me with the way, the answer, rather than my own way that will lead to sin. He's often calling out to us to do this or do that. And when we're obedient to that voice, good works result. Or don't do this and don't do that. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And I love this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? So works were an evidence of Abraham's faith in God. He took his son. Imagine doing that, taking your son that you had received promises about and offering him up because God said to do it. But he knew somehow God would provide the way, or he had faith. And his response to God was evidence that he had faith. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith made perfect? I want to read this historical account of John the Baptist by Flavius Josephus in Jewish Antiquities to give us a background of John the Baptist. And it says, and this is all leading up to something that John says about Jesus and about grace. Now, some of the Jews thought that the destruction of Herod's army came from God. Okay, so Let me just give you a little background on this. Josephus is giving us a history of the destruction of Herod's army. And he goes on a side note or a tangent about John the Baptist here. Josephus was, I think he was born around 37 AD, and he was giving a historical account to Gentiles about the Jewish history. And John was so important in that day that he wrote this small piece about him. Now, some of the Jews thought that the destruction of Herod's army came from God as a just punishment of what Herod had done against John, who was called the Baptist. For Herod had killed this good man who had commanded the Jews to exercise virtue, righteousness towards one another, and piety towards God. For only thus, in John's opinion, would the baptism be acceptable to God, namely, if they used it to obtain not pardon for some sins, but rather the cleansing of their bodies, inasmuch as it was taken for granted that their souls had already been purified by justice. Now many people came in crowds to him, for they were greatly moved by his words. Herod, who feared that the great influence John had over the masses might put them into his power and enable him to raise a rebellion, for they seemed ready to do anything he should advise, thought it best to put him to death. In this way, he might prevent any mischief John might cause and not bring himself into difficulties by sparing a man who might make him repent of it, and when it would be too late. Accordingly, John was sent as a prisoner out of Herod's suspicious temper to Machaerus, the castle I already mentioned, and was put to death. Now the Jews thought that the destruction of his army was sent as a punishment upon Herod and a mark of God's displeasure with him. So I just wanted to give that background on John, that he was considered a good man, and that he commanded that the Jews exercise virtue and righteousness toward one another. It was this new new teaching, really, that had not been taught for many years, at least. Really, that to live with your heart towards God. So I just wanted to bring that up. But this is the scripture that I wanted to read. And this is in John chapter 1. And it's after this section where it talks about Christ as the Word made flesh. And it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is actually John the Beloved who was writing this section. But now in verse 15 it says, "John," meaning John the Baptist, "bare witness of him and cried, saying, 'This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" So remember, John came baptizing, And when they asked him why he baptized, if he wasn't the Messiah, he said, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, the Messiah, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So, and then he goes on to say here, and of his fullness, meaning Jesus, have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, the law, the commandments. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Salvation came by Jesus Christ. Because we could not earn ourselves into salvation. It had to come through faith on the name of Jesus Christ. And all of the results of that, meaning the good works to follow because he works in us. Romans 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people, meaning Israel, once again going back to those who were under the law? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite. This being Paul speaking. Of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So here, Paul saying there are those Israelites who believe in Jesus Christ and election of grace, who have chosen grace, who've chosen to believe in the love of God and in his Son who was perfect. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And the explanation of that, remember the definition we read earlier about grace, the unmerited love of God towards us, his favor towards us? We cannot earn that. He freely gave it to us. And this works that it's talking about, Israel and the commandments and the schoolmaster law, was you worked your way to salvation. They did once a year have a priest go into the Holy of Holies and offer up a sacrifice for their sins, but even that sacrifice was not sufficient. Christ was that ultimate sacrifice. And so, this same subject, Nephi broached. At least I think it was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I'm there towards the end of 2 Nephi. Sometimes Jacob, his brother, speaks. So I'm not positive on that, but it's found in 2 Nephi chapter 11. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write, meaning the things that he's writing on the plates, shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore, these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nations which shall possess them shall be judged of them according to the words which are written. For we labor diligently to write, to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. How wonderful God was because they were obedient to him, because they believed him, to reveal to them ahead of time the grace of God, that they believed in Christ and that they needed to be reconciled to him, to God. That it was a heart thing, that it wasn't just an obedience because the law said so. For verse 44, for we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all that we can do. This very important verse, the emphasis is on grace. We know it is by grace we are saved. Even though we have been taught the law of Moses and we still keep the law of Moses. So let's continue to read that. And notwithstanding we believe in Christ, we keep the law of Moses and look forward with steadfastness unto Christ until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law hath become dead unto us, and we are made alive in Christ because of our faith. There it is again. We're made alive in Christ because of our faith, because we believe him, because we believe his words, because we believe what he told us. Yet we keep the law because of the commandments, and we talk of Christ. We rejoice in Christ. We preach of Christ. We prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. He's once again stating that salvation, remission of sins, comes through Christ. For by grace, I'm going to read this three verses again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How are we saved? By grace, through faith in Christ. What is the evidence of our faith in Christ? Good works, for we are his workmanship. He does a work in us because we believe him. We do because we believe him. We believed he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and so we do what he commanded. He blesses us along the way to help us do that. It's not just us being forceful in our own will, but it's him working in us. Revelations 20 tells us how we'll be judged, whether we believe him or not. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. So we will be judged according to our works, whether they were God's workmanship or they were our own works, whether they were good or evil. How do we get faith? Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" So what's that mean? What should we do? If we want faith, if we want that gift of faith, ask him. Because he's good at giving good gifts, good things to his children. And then Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we don't just sit idle and ask him for something and not do anything he said to do. We read his word. And I tell you, after I read the account of the sons of Mosiah, my faith was so strengthened, because I knew if he could do it, if he could change them who were the very vilest of sinners, then he can change me. It gave me hope, and it gave me faith that he would change me if I would do what he said and repent and turn to him and cry out to him. So faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, listening to sermons, listening to testimonies on Wednesday nights, sitting in your closet, on your bed by yourself, praying and listening to God. Faith comes by doing all of that. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to end on these verses. Brother Marvin gave me this right before church, and I added it real quickly. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, being Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. God bless.